Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have returning guest and good friend Christina Hutchinson is here.
Yeah,
she's here.
I'm here.
The really successful and well-known Guys We Fucked podcast.
Thank you.
Congrats. I feel like it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
It seems like it's going that way, and I'm very glad about it.
Yeah,
because
we
don't need TV.
So many people are going into podcasts. I still like visuals personally.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
I like both, but I mean, I see you guys having a visual something soon.
Yeah, I do too. It's just a matter of like when those right idea come along that makes sense that someone's not gonna water down.
Yes, exactly. Well, you guys already have the brand. You're both beautiful, funny. I mean, it's obviously gonna happen.
Thanks, Keith.
It's just about the right fit.
But you know what I'm thinking? I'm like, you don't have to be on TV.
Amen.
You really don't. And I never really thought about that before, but I'm like, because I was talking to my manager and he was like, yeah, or who was I talking to? It was like a comic. And they were like, you know, you got your own following. That's like the amount of following you would have if you had like a show that was mildly successful. You don't really need TV. I'm like, yeah, this is just, I guess we could just keep doing what we're doing. Like, that's also a great option. So,
well, I mean,
but I'm obsessed with a creative challenge.
We're right about, like, I've been seeing a lot of Robin Williams memory stuff because I guess we're at an anniversary of his passing. And, you know, he's such a reminder because he was so brilliant, so talented, and yet struggled and battled with depression and anxiety. And I know I battle that. I won't speak for you.
Oh, yeah, I have, especially lately. Depression, like,
it's been coming up.
Close the shades, close the doors, don't leave the house for days.
Yes, seriously.
Yeah.
So it's like, look, we're already making a living off of following our dreams,
mm-hmm.
you know? So the happiness or whatever you want to call it, it's already here.
Yeah.
What we're trying to learn to do is actually feel alive and the actual gratitude for our happiness, because most of us are still so numb.
True. Very true.
Because we had to be to survive childhoods and society.
It was a defense mechanism or a survival skill. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you're already fucking killing it.
Thank you. I feel, I never want to feel like I'm killing it only because then I don't ever want to get lazy.
I don't see you ever. You and Corinne, obviously. Like, you guys are both so hungry.
Very hungry. And that's, I want to, my only goal in life is to keep that alive till I die. Or until
I think
I'm tired.
It's impossible.
You know what I mean?
No, it's impossible for it to die because it's in your blood.
Thank you. It feels like it's, yeah. That's why that we were talking about TV earlier. That's why I am kind of obsessed with trying to figure it out because I want to feel my way through it and just follow my creative gut. You know what I mean? And that's something that I feel like gets shit on throughout the process when there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Well, ultimately, and this is what I've been trying to say to everyone, in entertainment and not, you are the only one who knows your path and knows what you want to create and express. And when we look at, because I used to be an art teacher and I took art history in college. When you look at the great artists, I mean, let's take Van Gogh. He died thinking he was unsuccessful, quote unquote. Like,
but was his success though not until after he died, or was he successful?
After he died.
Okay, so no one truly gave a shit about his paintings.
No one gave him the validation he was craving while he was alive.
Wow. And who, do you know what happened? Like, one guy one day was like, that Starry Night, you know what? That's actually real good. Never mind, guys. It's like Beanie Baby appraisal. Like, now the camel's worth $1,000 when I was 9 years old and my mom would take me, you know, my parents own like a toy store, collected toy store, but now it's like a dollar. So it's like, who decides?
That's why no matter what, just do what you love doing because it's so up in the air, or there's a better word for it, but it's like,
well, it's everybody's own interpretation of what is good.
Exactly.
Sometimes you luck out and you hit something that's universal, but then something like Van Gogh, I mean, art is,
you
painting
already
is so
have.
Abstract.
I feel like because you...
Trying.
Well, you and Corinne took a subject matter that is so funny how taboo it still is in many places, right?
I know. I always forget.
It's crazy, but it is. And you guys are both funny and friendly and approachable because you're trying to unite a lot of people and saying, like, no matter what your stance is on your sexuality, talk about it.
Yeah.
listen to us talk about it. It doesn't have to be so uptight or whatever. And you know, you and I were talking in the car, and we can get right into it, is that, you know, I've been celibate for about 2 years now, mm-hmm. for a reason. And my celibacy isn't me giving up on men, and it's not me giving up on my own future romance. It was me saying, you know what? I'm not opening up my legs until someone has really earned it. And I'm sure vice versa, because men give it up before a woman's really earned their heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they don't even think to go there.
Yeah. Know? It's like, because it's cool to just lay Fuck. All the chicks. Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because you have a podcast called Guys We Fucked, and I don't know why when I said fucked, I was like, yeah, Guys We Fucked.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, it's supposed to be Guys We Fuck? No, it's fucked. Anyway, sorry, I had a brain thing. But but the point is like, there's one thing to say, you're allowed to explore what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I've definitely obviously have had sex because I have a 12-year-old and next month or next week he'll be 12. But it's like, I hit a point where I'm like, no. I am personally not giving that up until really someone knows I am the one and is willing to go for it for real and take that leap with me. Because I'm willing to, when I know that my twin flame is here and ready, whoever that is, mm-hmm. I would love to experience that kind of true intimacy. And I want it to be romantic with both of us writing poems to each other. And just, I'm not competing with other women for it. Yeah, I'm not going to feel less than, like, that whole negging thing people do. I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah.
Men and women, stop it.
Yeah. All the time. Just, we were talking about it. It's interesting because I really do feel like I personally, and I know a lot of women, just don't let men earn. It's like earning sex, kind of. Like, and then they think they can get away with the same shitty behavior. Like, if you treat me like shit and then we have sex, it's validating you treating me like shit in a way. And that's not slut shaming. That's just like, respect yourself. That's all that is. So yeah, I'm trying to, I've only had sex with two people since the breakup. One of them is a guy I really like.
Really?
Yeah, I like
First
him a
of
lot.
All, so, okay, so we're catching up now.
Yeah.
Okay, fortunately, unfortunately, whatever.
Yeah.
But how long ago was your breakup?
April. End of April.
Okay, so it's recent-ish. But it's
4 months, yeah.
But you've been, have you been grieving it still?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because you guys were
I cried
together.
On the train.
Did you?
Yeah. He emailed me.
Oh, okay. So how long were you guys together for?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah. Well, it's good because I really, like, when I feel, I'm doing this thing now, when I feel sad about it, I'll just cry. I don't care if I'm on a podcast, if I'm in public, by myself. Like, I will. And it's so nice because my friend, I have a good friend, Claire, and she's always like, she tells me like if she cries once a day, but she, cause you know, obviously if she didn't feel the urge, she wouldn't. But when she feels like she needs to cry sometimes before she leaves the house, she just, for like a minute, and then she's like, oh, I feel great. And the other night I thought of Claire and I was like, you know what? I feel myself pushing down emotions. I feel like I want to cry.
Yeah.
I'm just going to cry. I wailed like a baby, drooled on my pillow.
Yes.
And I felt amazing afterwards. So I was like, oh, that's what you got
to
do.
You have to
that's
cry.
The key.
If you don't release it, it festers. It feels awful. Crying is so, sometimes though, some people can't touch their tears and then just touch
I can.
That. That's a gift. By the way, I wonder if it's
cry
the same
right
Claire that we're close friends with.
Is no, she, well, I know her from high school.
Oh, you know her? Okay, then it's not.
You would love her. She's a Montessori school teacher. She's amazing.
Where does she live?
In Brooklyn.
Really?
Yeah, I've known her since high school. She's amazing. She's one of my favorite humans.
Do you think she'll be, well, first of all, because this is going to come out late tonight / tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to edit this real quick.
Nice.
Saturday, are tickets already all sold out?
Oh, the night portion is, I think we have some day portion tickets.
So Guys tell them what's, yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. Okay, so Corinne and I, she had brought this idea to me. She's like, we should do like a day of charity because we're always telling people to do something other than retweet online petition because, you know, we really believe in being active in your community and, you know, being involved and helping out. It'll make you feel like a person. It'll just make everybody better. And so we have on August 18th, which is a Saturday, Guys We Fest. It's our first one. There's a day portion and a night portion. You can buy either a day pass, night pass, or both. I think night passes are the ones that are sold out. But during the day, we're going to have booths. It's in this place called City Point, Brooklyn Studios in City Point, which is basically like a shopping center mall. It's gorgeous. It's brand new. There's a Target in it. It's so nice. It's this giant venue. We're going to have a lot of booths with charity organizations that are actively seeking volunteers. We're going to have Kate do tarot card readings.
Yes.
My friend Alana, who's an amazing painter, she's going to be selling her paintings and doing portraits of people. We're going to have puppies that need to get adopted. Kittens will be there. I am terrified because I can't have a pet right now, but I know I'm going to go home with an animal. I mean, if I fall in love with one of them, they're mine. So we'll see. We're going to have, I'm curating this booth called Fuckers Anonymous because so many people email us about all these things. So I'm going to have all these notebooks and like kind of art that you can decorate the piece of paper if you want to, but kind of like writing down what you're afraid of, what you don't want to tell anybody, what you're so scared to tell somebody. And truly it'll be anonymous because you won't have your name. You just kind of pin it up. And so, and then you can read everybody else's thing. So we're just having a lot of booths like that. I'm very excited.
I can't wait. I'm so happy I get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I might stay then. And I didn't know there was also a night portion.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally stay.
I might come and hang. Will there be music and stuff?
So during the day, there's going to be music too. We're going to have like light entertainment and like a magician, reformed horror, Sarah Dooley. They're going to be performing during the day while like the flea market kind of thing's going on. And then at night, it's going to be comedy.
Really?
Yeah, Jessica Kearson, Michael Che, Mehran Kagani, me, Corinne, and Harrison Greenbaum.
Oh my! So is that going to be going on while there's still booths and things?
No, the night portion is just, so there's going to be a 3-hour gap in between.
Got it.
The day portion is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Oh, and at the end of the day portion, we're doing a live podcast of Guys We Fucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the booths are all going down at 3. They're like tearing down. 3 to 4 live podcast. And then everybody, we have to kind of kick people out so we could set up the stage area.
Got it.
And then from 8 to 10:30 is the night thing.
Hell yeah. Well, guys, I'll be there at the day section doing tarot readings.
Yeah.
So come on through and check out everything. Anyway, yeah, I love that you guys are using your voice and your following to do, I mean, this is your first big of this kind of event, but you guys, I think, are always helping out.
We try. Because it's like,
you guys helped me.
And also, like, if you're going to have, you know, you use your voice responsibly when you want to. You don't always have to. I truly believe that. You don't always have to be fighting for causes, because that's exhausting. Truly, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
But when you feel like it, do it. And so, yeah, half the proceeds are going to New Alternatives, which they work with homeless LGBT teenagers who have been basically kicked out of their home because they're gay, trans, whatever. That still happens, surprisingly.
Awful.
And the other half is going to the Reproductive Health Access Project. And their goal is to train clinicians to be able to give full scope reproductive health care, a.k.a. if you want an abortion, not enough doctors are trained how to do that. Your gynecologist should know how to administer an abortion. It's a very simple, safe procedure, but they're not trained in it. So this company, this organization aims to just train doctors to give, if you want to have a baby, you want a pap smear, whatever reproductive health care you need, they will train doctors to be able to get full service health care.
I think what I want to see, and it is already happening in the world, is just more of us talking about things like sex ed and even drug ed and all these things.
Yeah.
Because when it remains taboo, you can't really get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, when it comes to pro-choice, pro-life, STDs, anything in that range, everyone's allowed to choose at the end of the day what's right for them. But you can't even get there when you don't even know who you can talk to about it.
I know. And so many people can't talk to people about it.
And how it's isolating and lonely it is to, let's say you're in high school, your parents are super anti-sex, you go and you do it, then you get an STD and you have nowhere to turn.
And
you're
you feel
scared
so ashamed
to go to the doctor. Yeah.
But you didn't have the knowledge. How could you have known?
No one talk. I mean, the way that they talk about it in schools, it's still
sad.
I know. It's just not real.
Yeah.
And kids respond to real conversations. And look, I've been celibate for 2 years. So when I, just because I'm open, it's not like I'm going around everyone being like, just go fuck and do drugs. And like, being open doesn't mean a certain decision.
Yeah.
Being open is just
following
being open
heart
to discussing.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And exploration.
Honestly. Yeah.
Yes. But most people are still stuck in this, like,
because that's
politeness.
What we were raised as.
Yes.
Because that's what you know. And it's like, oh, that's so sad to be in that box. And once you break out of the box, you're like, this is way better. Why doesn't everybody get out of the box?
I get mad at myself when I break out and I'm like, wow, why was I staying in it for so long?
Because you were, that's all you knew.
It's scary.
I mean,
it's
how,
scary.
I mean, it's surprise. It's great that you broke out, you know, even.
Amen.
It's crazy. It's, we read an email. I thought this was so interesting. Oh, we read it. So the podcast is going to be happening on Friday. So that's coming out on Friday. Of this girl, she only masturbates to videos of childbirth. And she described it. She went into detail. Because she was like, when the woman shits, I that makes me so aroused. I have not told a single soul about this my whole life. I think she's 24. She doesn't know why. She's felt this way since she was six. She's never told a single soul. She said she was shaking while she was writing the email. And we read the email and she described it and she's like, I don't want to be pregnant. I don't think pregnant women are arousing. I'm interested in men. I'm straight. I have sex, but I've never let anybody in on this. I'm like, and Crit and I read the, and it was very specific. She went into detail and I was thankful because I was like, I'm fucking curious. I want to know like what? I don't know what the connection is. If anything, would we read it just to see, I'm like, guarantee somebody else has these same feelings, no matter how specific they are. I guarantee you. But also like, I get it. Like, I feel like a woman give, I don't know what this means psychologically, but I also feel like a woman giving birth to a child, that's one of the most powerful forces on the planet. You should be like, it's not that weird, I don't think. And so just to kind of be able to talk about something that left field for everybody in a, yeah, I get it. That's kind of badass, a woman giving birth. So like, I could understand how you would get really aroused by it. And just having that and that, hopefully that'll encourage her to
fascinating
talk to a therapist, because I'm like, you should talk to a therapist because I want to know.
Well, and also at the end of the day, only you know your own truth. So it's like, yeah, we can all give theories. I mean, the powerful thing is, I think, brilliant, because it is such a big, and it's also,
it's like the biggest deal. It's how we all got here.
Well, you know how they give those exercises for teenagers to look at their vaginas to get to know them?
This yeah.
is, that's almost like that times a I million mean, on steroids.
It's like the gateway to the entry of the world.
Yeah.
Is what you're watching.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the craziest thing. I mean, but it's interesting because every time I watch a television show or a movie or a reality show or anything where there's a woman in labor giving birth, I always cry. Always cry because I'm just like, it's such a powerful thing. Even if it's being fictionalized in a comedy way, I cry because but that's the response it elicits in me. And for you, or for this girl who wrote this email, she gets really horny. Okay.
It reminds me of this thing I saw on Facebook. And this is a very controversial thing. Like, even on Facebook, people were freaking out, where a couple people did these TED Talks this year around pedophilia.
Oh,
did you see this?
No, but I want to. I am fascinated with this psychology.
People were jumping on it in a way that I didn't feel was fair. And I'll explain why. Am I for pedophilia?
No. The fact that you even have to say that is indicative of the way everybody acts.
Exactly.
And it's bullshit. It's like, no one's for pedophilia. Pedophiles even aren't for pedophilia. Do you think you want to be, have those evil thoughts in your head? That fucking sounds terrible.
Who wants to be a pedophile?
No one is the answer.
Well, some of these talks were based on that thing where it's like, look, you know, no one's saying go through and act out on pedophilia. What they were trying to say is, if it's what a lot of people are into, we have to look at that and understand what's going on, because you can't change truth. And if there's a truth that there are a lot of people who are unfortunately attracted to children, to me, is that disgusting? Well, yes and no, in the sense of, don't you dare fucking look at my son like you can. However,
I know. I'm like, I have a nephew. I'm like, if anybody fucking touched him, I'll slit your throat and your family's throat. I don't care. Like, that's the anger that would have raised. But at the same time, that's my emotions. That's my personal, like, that's
you
Brantley.
Can't change what your body is attracted to.
I know.
But it doesn't mean you act on it. And these,
I would be gay. I would be a lesbian in a goddamn second.
Well, there you go. You guys heard it
first.
That's
proof. I wish. Well, I'm not attracted to women.
But it's like, and it's not even about sex, just sexual attraction. People, like, the thoughts we sometimes have, they can be weird, morbid.
Oh, hell yeah.
It doesn't
all
mean
kinds of fucked up.
Well, that's why porn is not just so popular, but why it's so hidden. It's because we're all ashamed of these parts within us that we don't want to admit to. But these talks were just trying to say, let's actually address this topic from a place of truth instead of sweeping it under the table.
Yeah.
There are some people that live amongst us who are attracted to children. Do I, quote unquote, like it? No. But until we start talking about it and actually have some empathy, who have uncontrollable tendencies or attractions, it can't change. It might even just be the fear of, like, sometimes something becomes so strong because you're trying to not even admit you have an inkling. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you admit to the inkling, suddenly the desire goes away. So once again, Christina and I are both not saying yay pedophilia. Okay. But when we pretend that it doesn't exist, the problem doesn't go away.
I asked at one point on the podcast, I'm like, one thing like I learned about people is that a lot of people who wrote us emails have been molested as children from their family members, non-family members. No one believed them, or the stepdad touched the girl when she was five and the mother's on the stepdad's side, and tale is old as time, unfortunately. And so I was like, so there has to be some pedophiles listening to this podcast. Please write us an email and tell me what the fuck, please. I want to know. And the guy wrote us. He made a fake email address and he wrote us and he told, but, and this is, I thought was really interesting because I was like, I kind of figured that, you know, like those Instagram accounts of like hot kids, like fucking 7-year-old little girls in like JonBenet Ramsey's, like on Instagram, basically.
They upset me.
That's what they jerk off to. That's P.S. crazy.
Yeah. So parents, when you're putting your 7 or 8-year-old in a pageant, just so you know, I'm not saying you can't do it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing.
When it's you like, make your 8-year-old look like they're 30.
Yeah. Oh, some of that shit is. Don't put a bikini top on a 5-year-old girl, please. I don't know. I don't know. But maybe that's, I don't know.
I'm not against 5-year-olds wearing bikinis if they feel still kid appropriate or something.
I've seen things on Instagram though. The guy actually mentioned a few accounts and I looked at them because I was curious, and one of them I was like, this feels like child porn. This doesn't even feel like a curated kids thing. But then you go one uncomfortable step deeper and you go, is that better than him touching a kid? I feel like probably.
Well, obviously, but also, touching kids is one of the worst, right? It's like,
yeah, you're going to ruin that. You're ruining a child's life. You're ruining a child's soul.
Yeah, I mean, no, you are. It's like, it's so terrible. Once again, the worst thing you can do, but this is not going to get solved until we start understanding why this keeps happening.
Yes. And that guy said that he was too afraid to go to a therapist because they were going to call the cops on him.
Exactly.
So what the fuck?
So then no one gets help.
So no one gets help. And also too, I mean, I'm curious, like, I know my mom when I was a kid, she said, don't talk to strangers. Don't, if a stranger tries to give you something or tries to touch you, come to the nearest adult you trust. But, you know, I'm curious if parents, and I don't know if this is appropriate because I don't have kids, so you tell me, I'm curious what you think. But if someone touches you in a sexual way, how do you know that that's a sexual way when you are prepubescent, right? Should you be explained that he was touching you in a sexual way? Like, I don't even know.
Anything and would that makes you uncomfortable.
Would that do less damage if you were molested? I don't know.
I think what we're learning, even as adults, and it doesn't have to be just in the sexual category, when something makes you uncomfortable, you have every right. This is where we go wrong as adults, is telling kids, because that kids innately say how they feel.
It's beautiful.
And then we go, shh, be polite. Shh, don't say that.
We dim them.
If you are uncomfortable, child or adult, you are allowed to step away from something. You are allowed to take as much space as you need. You're allowed to not engage in something that feels wrong to you.
You don't ever have to hug anybody if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Give me a hug is weird. That's a weird thing to say. Give me a hug. Like, that's not, you know, if two people hug each other, they hug each other. Like, it's like, that's a hug.
Yeah. No, we live in this society. It's like, override what makes you feel comfortable to make everyone else feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's unfortunate because then that's how you keep the trap shut.
Yeah. And the cycle of like no one really being happy going.
And it's such a shame because everybody has a capability of living a life that's just like true to them.
Yeah.
But they're all scared.
We're trying to get there, but we're.
That's the goal of life. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're all so scared to just be who we really are and not even.
And that's so silly.
I know.
Because there's so many fucking weirdos on this planet. Be individual and celebrate it. Like, that's just so dumb.
I'm trying to still not smile as much because that's not my true. Like, sometimes I'm happy and sometimes.
Oh, I see. I don't feel like smile when you didn't want to smile.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. That's exhausting.
It's exhausting. Yeah. And I'm trying even in pictures. It's hard to not smile when everyone else is smiling in a picture. Yeah. But like. And maybe it's, you know,
I always think of a happy thought that
for
makes
women
me smile.
Too. Really?
In a picture. Because I like smiling in pictures. It's straight face just doesn't look right on me.
No, but, I've seen some of your bathroom selfies.
Oh, those, yeah. Those, I guess, so.
But that's like real. Like, if I'm laying on the floor in a bathroom, that's how I'm looking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not just laying there smiling. Oh, I'm contemplating some shit.
That's true. Like, I'm talking about, I guess if I take photos with people, like, I don't want to be like,
I know. I know. But sometimes that's how I really feel.
Well, and if that's how you really feel, then you should do it. Yeah. And Corinne and I don't do meet and greets anymore. Partially, our agents were like, you got to stop. You're too accessible to people and you got to, like, you know, and it was exhausting emotionally. But also, I was happy when I felt so terrible. I felt so bad. I'm like, that is so, I felt like cruel that we weren't doing them anymore because we wouldn't, you know, our agent was like, oh, you could charge extra. I'm like, I don't want, maybe down the road if we're doing a venue that's so big, we can't possibly see everybody, but it just feels like such a dick move because the audience is how you, people show up to your show is why you get to do what you do and why you get to be an adult child as a living. And, but then when Steven and I broke up, I did not hide my feelings at all. I'm like, fuck this. I don't want to say hi to shit. I don't want, we're staying in the green room. I'm just going to cry after the show. And it was great because that's just how I felt and it's how I wanted to react. And then that's how I actually reacted. So they matched up for the first time in a while.
That's amazing. And that they say like a lot of times heartbreak is to break our heart open into more light.
It did.
And as
raw as hell.
Yeah. And as upsetting and raw as it is, all of this, this whole journey is about being more and more yourself and true to your feelings. So it put you in a place where it's like, you don't have the energy to be fake at all. You couldn't.
I couldn't even fake it. Yeah. No, it's, and I feel it's, heartache is a very sad but beautiful feeling. It's very, it makes you feel very alive, but it's so like just going to the depths of your own sadness is like, ooh, it's a wild ride. I'm glad that I'm going through this, but man, it's, I don't want to do it again.
Well, plus with like, so we had the 8/8 Lionsgate portal last week and it went up until the new moon on Saturday. And I particularly, it's for me, that portal, you know, the frequencies shifting is for us to just be more in alignment with us.
Oh, that's good.
And to cry when you want to cry and to scream if you feel like screaming and not to act out, but to just get to be who you are.
Yeah.
And I think those of us who really want to evolve are saying, no, seriously, fuck it. Like, this is me. If you don't like it, you can keep it moving. Like,
yeah.
I can't change me for you and vice versa. And like, I think a lot of us are just done shape-shifting into these other
Our whole lives, figures. We just let things slide. I feel like for me, I'm a people pleaser. I let things slide. I mean, when Corinne and I were talking this earlier, when we would go into meetings for possible TV shows, I would let people kiss my ass and I wouldn't say, but now the first thing I say when I sit down in a meeting is like, look, if you're going to water our shit down, I don't want to fucking be on TV. Like, I don't want to waste either of our times. Let's cut to the chase, you know, and I'm saying what I actually feel and what I want to say. And it's just, wow, way better.
Well, with that, and then in any aspect of your life, if you're just yourself and saying how you actually feel, you'll vibrate and match to the people that are actually in alignment with your mission.
Yeah, yeah.
If you pretend to be something else and do the people pleaser, you get
shit.
Yeah, well, it's like, well, in a sense, you're being shit too because you think that's what other people want.
Yeah, yeah. And you can always tell when you see somebody else do it, you're like, I know what you're doing.
I'm guilty because I do it too. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all guilty of it to an extent. And I've had enough because it's so exhausting pretending to be happier than you are.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And like for me, and I'll share this, I won't go too deep into it, but like I've been heartbroken since my last breakup, which was a long time ago. And there was so much shame I had around the fact that, like, it makes you feel weak to still care about something.
Ugh, I know.
When everyone has these algorithms of like, oh, you dated for this long, then multiply it by this and divide it by this. And eventually, well, even like a week and a half ago, I go, you know what? I'm still fucking sad about it. And I'm fucking allowed to be. And it's not
the
even
sadness
about.
Sadness will come and go. And just because you're sad about it now doesn't mean you're going to be sad about it for.
In like, an hour.
You're not constantly sad about it, but sometimes you want to go there. Sometimes I'll put on, I discovered the saddest song I've ever heard in my entire life. I can't even talk about it without crying, but it's like exactly how I feel about the Steven breakup. And I listened to it last night because I was like, I just want to cry. I forget. I'll look it up after this, but it's basically like, oh, you're giving up on me, which I did, but in a way that I had to, but it was like, I just want to cry and just feel it and just wail like a baby and then smoke weed and take a nap. And that's what I did. And it was fucking amazing.
Amen. I love you. No, but that's what I'm saying is like, and a lot of times I'm guilty of using my breakup as a way to just feel my feelings. Cause I think often I'm still really just upset about when I was 2 or 3 or 4 and got emotionally abused by a parent and all these things that I still have yet to process. I know usually it's about
that. Do you feel like you
feel
bad for your child self? That's how I feel sometimes. I feel bad for young Christina, but that's a terrible mindset because young Christina was, you know, she just didn't know what was happening. Like, I feel so bad for that kid. Is that how you feel when you think of you as a kid?
Well, it's almost like she's still here and I'm confusing the very present 3-year-old or 4-year-old or however year old with me. And that's where it gets to be too much is when I'm at this age beating myself up for still feeling like the abandoned 3-year-old. And what shifted is I was like, I'm allowed to, it doesn't make me weak to be so upset over whether it's my childhood or an ex or whatever, an ice cream that falls on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, you're allowed to be upset about what you're actually upset about. And that's why we need to start not taking in other people's opinions of what we should care about and the way we should navigate our lives is because only you know your own feelings and what feels right. And you get to express them and follow them. And it's okay if people disagree with you or you everyone just wants to be who they are. And a lot of us women and men, but it's like, we're still ashamed to even be as angry as we are at times. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to just be like these, smile, be happy, be agreeable. And I'm just like, cause you don't want to be a bitch or look like an asshole. And I'm just like, dude, sometimes I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the cat's out of the bag. Sometimes I'm a huge cunt.
Yeah.
Okay? There you go. It's like, you know, it's like we're all those sometimes.
Exactly. We're all those things. No one is one straight line.
Yes. Yeah. It's so funny because I think when I get into fights with people, they're almost, you know, it's like, oh, shocked. And it's like, what are you shocked about? That I'm a healer, but also can get angry? Like, that makes me more of a healer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If I were pretending to be this always nice, gentle thing, then the alarm bell should be going off.
Yeah, because then there's something bubbling up underneath that's going to explode eventually.
Yeah, that's when the knife gets pulled in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know? And not to cut tomatoes, people, okay? I'm so dorky. No, I love what you're saying. And I'm sorry the breakup. I mean, I guess I knew it would be hard, but I didn't know exactly.
Yeah.
Can you tell me some details about it that without giving me too much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because
I know you
both wasn't,
and love you both.
Yeah. Oh, and I love Steven so much. But he wasn't. I toy between being honest. I don't want to make him look bad, but it's also how I feel. So I'm always like,
such a hard balance.
I know, because I really don't want to. My intention is not at all to give anybody a negative like reputation.
You don't have to say anything if you don't
no,
want
to. No, but I'm like, I do want to talk about it because it's how I feel. But I sensed when I met him, I was 23 and broke, and he was, how old was he? 29 or 30. He was 30 and he was doing music videos. He wasn't broke at all. He was doing okay. And then when the dynamic shifted in our relationship and I became successful, I just sensed bitterness towards him and it broke my heart. Cause it's like,
you mean bitterness from him, right?
Yeah. Or, I'm sorry. Yes. From him towards me.
Yeah.
And he would just kind of snap and he was stressed out, but he, you know, I don't know. I'm at the stage in the breakup where I can see all the things that didn't work and that I'm not supposed to be with Steven. I know that's true. It's so sad to say, but he loved me so much. Like, the way he loved me, how much he loved me, how supportive he was, and how much he loved the fuck out of me. And that was, I really cherished that. And I miss that a lot. And I miss being loving towards somebody. I love being a girlfriend. I love, like, just kissing someone in the morning. I love that. I mean, I don't know who doesn't, but, so I think, but you know, I wanted to buy a piano. It's like one of the last straws in my head. I wanted to buy a piano. He would give me shit for buying things with my own money. And I wanted to buy a piano, and I talked about it with him a little bit. And then I met up with my manager, and then I saw this piano store like right outside his door. I'm like, oh my God, it's a sign. I'm going to buy a piano. And I was so happy. Like, my heart was like, oh, I'm so excited. Like, I used to play as a kid. Like, I just want, this is like good for my soul. I just want like to do something for just me. That's not like I put it on the internet. It's just like, but it's a creative outlet that I could express myself. That's not comedy. All these reasons that I wanted a piano. And I was so proud of myself that I could buy one. Like, I had negative money in my bank account from when I graduated college in 2010 up until 3 years ago. I was so broke that I couldn't even like hang out with my friends and be relaxed because I was so on edge about how no money I had. And it just was such a big deal to me. And I was so proud of myself for that. And I texted him and he just got so mad at me. And he was like, can you not right now? And I felt my heart break when he said that. Cause I was like, and I knew in my head, I said to myself, I'm like, if he tries to be a dick about this, cause it's not a thing of like, I'm going to play while he's working. It's not like, that's just not it at all. But if he acts like how he think he's going to act, it's done. And that was one of the big things. The day I got the piano was like, I like miss it when I leave. Like, I'm so glad I did that. But, you know, you can't be around somebody that hinders you like that.
I completely hear what you're saying, because once again, what people want the most is freedom to be their self.
Yeah.
And as much as you love someone or are scared to lose them, if that relationship is hindering you from getting to be free,
yeah,
then it'll never be worth it. Yes, you have to make some compromises, obviously, in relationships.
But I wasn't doing that for him either, because when he was negative, I was always trying to cheer him up. But it's like, maybe he just wants to be fucking sad. Like, that's okay.
You can't give up something like a piano. A piano is too close to someone's soul. It's making music. It's expression. And and yet, who knows what was going on, you know, because once again, I don't know him very, very well, but I really like Steven. And so who knows on the deepest level what was going on, but I think...
He's a good man.
And who knows what the future holds, but no matter what...
Well, yeah.
No matter what...
Yeah.
You are meant to be free and just keep going deeper and deeper, because you're a very spiritual person as well.
And I feel this type of freedom that I have not felt ever in my life.
Yeah. And it's like lonely doing it, but so lonely. It's lonelier being in something where you don't really get to be your full self.
Yeah. Well, it's heartbreaking to know that you're getting, you're like, I mean, to speak in your terms, and I like, this is the only way I can even think to put it. It's like, you're dimming my light.
Yeah.
You're dimming my light. You're deflating my sail. And I asked the people that were close with me, I asked my mom, I said, does Steven take away my happiness? She's like, yeah. And everybody that I'm close to that I love deeply, I asked them that and they all said yes. And I knew it was true. That's why I asked them. And this is just the worst day of, I mean, not worst day of my life, but because it was the first day that I really like stood up for myself and were like, you know what? You're on your own, kid. I gotta be on my own and I'm going to figure this out by myself. And, it was good, but it was hard. It was very hard.
Well, I'm proud of you, because so many people are terrified of being alone. So instead, they stay in things that are also...
But to me, that's so much worse.
Oh, so, I agree.
So it wasn't... It would have been harder for me to stay with him, because that just goes against... I could sense myself being grossed out by him, but it's because it got that bad in my head. That was my fault of like, I stayed with him a little longer. Cause when you're in a relationship for that amount of time, 7 years is so long. Like it's not a decision. You think one day you're like, okay. And then you do it. Like, I was thinking about this for a while and we had broken up for like a day twice already.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just, my body cannot take being near you in a relationship.
Yeah.
Cause I know that that's cheating myself out of a good life, which is so sad.
And our bodies are so intelligent. So if your body is feeling uncomfortable, you have to listen to it.
Okay, this is. I thought my vagina was broken, and I just accepted that. And I was like, I guess I'm just not horny. I'm just not. But it's because I knew my brain couldn't make the decision, but my body. And then I started seeing somebody immediately after, and oh my God, the sex was just incredible. And I was like, wow, my brain couldn't make the decision for me because it was too crowded, but my body was like, oh no, we know what's good for you. And I was like, that is so fucking cool.
Thank God for our bodies. That's when I got engaged, when I was 24, I started having panic attacks right away because I couldn't yet admit to myself that it was over because I was so close to him and we were quote unquote best friends, right?
Yeah.
But I also, we were only having sex like once every 3 weeks, yeah. like, and it was always kind of like a chore feeling. And look, a lot of you are listening. Do not feel guilty if you're still quote unquote stuck in something and can't get out. Like, yeah. so many of us beat ourselves up for wanting, because we're like, oh, I can't get out of this yet. Or you're at where you're at for a reason. Just keep going and don't ever give up on yourself.
I will say the worst part about the breakup was saying it to him and then watching his eyes as he realized it's done. That was my biggest fear. And that was, the only other moment I've ever had in my life like that was when I held my childhood cat as I got him put to sleep and I felt his body. I felt his body die. I felt him die. I saw that light go away out of his eyes, and that taking away his joy was not that I ultimately realized that I'm not responsible for it, but like that was the scariest thing I've ever seen ever in someone's eyes.
But good for you. I'm sure you were terrified to quote unquote break the news to him, right? But like
yeah.
on a deep level, I'm sure he already knew it was ending, and you have to do what's right for you. If you're living, and I know you already know this, but living for someone else because you're scared of letting them down, it helps no one.
Yeah.
So good for you for like making that decision. I know it hasn't been easy. Yeah. But you're obviously going to come
through.
It's
the right decision,
100%.
Like, at least I know that. Like, I can rest. And one of the emails he had sent me, his parents said, like, that, yeah, we saw it coming. And that made me feel better because I'm like, okay, so I'm not, I just don't want to feel responsible for, like, ruining this guy's life.
Too much pressure.
Yeah.
Well,
but I put that on myself too. He didn't necessarily ask that of me.
I think your parents did that a lot too.
100%.
So you're still carrying like the weight of the world and it's mm-hmm. just too much. Like you're allowed to just
yeah.
go through it for you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. And if it hurts somebody in on the way, it's like, well, I know that I don't mean to do that. So it's, but that's life.
When I called off the wedding to that guy, ugh. I felt that thing of like, I just ruined another person's life. And it's yeah. just not true. It's yeah. like no
you
one has that power.
And you helped them because that
they don't want to end up with someone who's not fully, you know, passionately in love with them. We all deserve the most intense, amazing ride or die romance. Mm-hmm. And if a person is undecided about you or it, trust me, it's not good for either one.
Yeah.
And that's my whole thing of like,
such
closing your legs.
Yourself.
It's like you don't have to do it. You guys, you're in charge of your vaginas and penises. But like at the end of the day, I think we all need to make, whether you're a man or a woman, we need to start making people each other mm-hmm. earn it. And it's not like earn it. It's more of like you earn me and I'll earn you. You know, like let's both put in the actual work, but it's this impulsivity control, like patience and time are really incredible qualities. They're the hardest rare. Ones, so rare. But that's what real, I mean, think about a harvest, like a farmer. You just, you know, you tend to your soil, you plant the seeds, and you know, even if you can't see them, that they're there.
Yeah.
But it's really, really hard to have faith. So a lot of us just want to bury our pain or whatever. Yes.
And it's like, I'm really forcing myself to try and get used to not seeking out immediate gratification, whether it like, that's why I don't investing in stocks, like a long-term investment game. That was never exciting to me. I don't get that. Cause if I'm going to invest in something, it's going to be Bitcoin. I'm going to make 10 grand. Blah, blah. Like that's my personality. I feel like that's how a lot of people are because of everyone's opinions are on the internet now. And we could talk to that random girl from high school who has 3 kids now on Facebook. And it's just like, we're too connected and we're too, but yeah. It's not connected in a genuine way that's going to help anybody. It's connected on the internet, which is fake. And so I feel like people are constantly seeking this immediate gratification. And I'm really trying to get that idea just out of my head that even wanting that, and I'm trying to just wean off of it because
it takes time to wean, like you yeah. said, because when you're used to filling the void so quickly, if you go cold turkey, you'll almost go into a real withdrawal.
Yeah.
So it's okay to just have the compassion as you watch yourself slowly. Because, you know, sometimes you're going to go, oh, man, that was immediate gratification. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We're human. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, stand up is immediate gratification. Oh, so I'll just get it from that. You know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah.
That's a healthy form.
I have a do you mind helping answering? Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So this is an amazing listener. And it's so funny. She was like, can I ask a question for the podcast? And I said, yes, please, just not too long. Because sometimes I get ones that are so long and it's like.
And I'm bad at reading out loud. So I'm like, just keep it short.
Yeah. Okay. So here she goes. I was just curious, would you ever become pen pals with a prisoner? If yes, would you want to talk to anyone or would you exclude certain people based off their crime? If no, what are your reasons or concerns that you might have for not writing someone who is incarcerated?
I was just talking about that with Corinne.
Really?
There's organizations that connect you with prisoners that you can do pen pals. And I remember hearing about a long time ago. I tried to Google it and then I just came up. It was only like dataprisoner.com. I'm like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. I would love to be pen pals.
Really?
100%. Because I'm curious.
Yeah.
What's your life like? What is your day to day? What makes you sad? What makes you happy? Like, I mean, this is an extreme version, but we talked to Amanda Knox, who was in a prison for 4 years. And I'm like, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I learned how to masturbate in prison.
Wow.
I'm like, the kind of, I mean, Pete, there's so many people in prison.
She was going to say, I learned how to like speak three languages.
No, I mean, she already knew how to speak three languages. She was very smart. She is very smart. She's like.
I watched the documentary on her a year ago, the one on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I loved the way they handled it because it was very up in the air. Mm-hmm. It was not. I love things like that where you get to feel into.
It was a proper crime documentary. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I said it like that.
Yas.
But.
I think that's interesting. I would love to. What do you think?
I guess it depends because when I heard pen pal, I immediately went to like in a romantic capacity. Which
oh, I see. I don't think pen pals are romantic at all.
Yeah. So like
pen pals are just like.
Would I just write to someone in prison? Maybe. I don't really like.
I want them to reach out first because I don't want to be like. I know I'm out in the free world, but I just wanted to write you a letter. Are you okay? Like, the fucking person's in prison.
I'm just also busy. Like, I'm not trying. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it depends. It really depends on the situation. Totally depends. If there was like a real big case of injustice where someone was wrongfully imprisoned, and Kim Kardashian did this for a woman where she helped get her release because she was wrongfully put in prison. I would love to help people who have been put there. Because the system's pretty fucked up. So maybe even someone who got put in jail for like marijuana, which is ridiculous. Oh my God,
petty drug crimes. There's so many men and women incarcerated for that bullshit.
But would I ever be one of those girls that like, you know, like there'll be a guy who like murders his wife and then girls are like trying to date that dude. Like obviously not that.
Yeah.
You know,
no. I mean that.
That's an extreme though.
That is an extreme.
But yeah, pen pal with someone in prison totally depends on the crime.
Letter writing is a lost art.
It totally is.
And I'm like, well, if you're in prison, you have time to write letters. And if I'm receiving a letter from a person in prison, I will respect, I will revalue the fact that I am not in prison, but I'll also have empathy and be curious about like, what is your life like? What makes you tick? How is it different? What do you like? What do you not like about prison?
Yeah.
I just want to know. And it's like letters. So it's just, there's something beautiful about I started keeping a diary recently because I'm like, oh, I'm going to write this down and no one's going to read it. This is beautiful.
No, there is something beautiful about handwriting something. So I don't know. It really depends on the case for me. But I'm not opposed to it. But I'm also not like, yeah, like let's do, you know.
Letters to prisoner. Yeah.
Yeah, it really depends. But obviously, if it were for a crime like pedophilia or murder or something, I personally, I'm not saying that they don't deserve human contact or the right connections. For me, I don't think I would go into that territory because it just would scare me or something.
Yeah, and plus they'd have your address.
Yeah, and it's
I'd probably get a P.O. box just to be safe.
True.
If I'm writing a letter to anybody like that I don't know in person.
This is where we start the prisoner pen pal organization.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I smell a new podcast. Just kidding.
Yeah, right. Well, that could actually be a fascinating one.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
But so I hope that answers it. I think
it does.
We were pretty open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eh. Okay, so let's see. First of all, do you know we already did like 49 minutes?
Oh, damn.
Can I pull some cards for you on...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to... How is I just like step on my own cord. Okay, so I'm going to pull some cards for Christina, but anyone who's listening, you can take in this message as well, because sometimes I'll just read for anyone listening. So this is for Christina, but please take in the message, because there's a reason why it's happening while everyone can hear it. So, okay, so I'm going to have you pick three. You don't have to necessarily shuffle. You can just kind of like spread them out, and then the three that speak to you will do. And this is my deck. It's called Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle. It's one of my favorite decks. It's very druid influenced. It's like a Celtic kind of feel to it. It's one of my favorites. So for those of you who are looking for different decks. Okay. Well, I love this one in the middle, because it is Become Your Own Sovereign and the Goddess Sovereignty, however you would say that.
Okay.
And this is perfect for you, because this is a time where you're really learning that you're your own sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
You are a goddess. You are so connected to your higher self, and you've always been very, very sensitive. And
oh, yeah.
Not everyone loved it at first.
Right.
Because you were picking up on things that people didn't necessarily want to hear even about themselves. Mm. But now you get to go deeper and hear your own truth. And I love how easy it is for you to cry right now. Mm-hmm. Seriously. It means that you're just so in touch with your emotional compass. So this is like, look, only you know your truth. Become the one that you can depend on. You can still have support systems and communicate to people, but you know what's up. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
And the more you can like sit in your throne, wear your crown, which is a big theme coming in for a lot of us as the divine feminine comes in for both men and women. It's like you're allowed to, there's a difference between confidence and cockiness.
Oh, yeah.
You're allowed to be confident. You're allowed to own it. And here you are, this like brilliant, beautiful, funny woman who's very successful. Like you're allowed to just go through your life being like, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's good.
And then very similar. It's, okay, I'll read the top part. It's Lady of the Lake, and I'm all about mermaids. Find and hold your own power.
Mm.
So I think in the past you had to give away your power. You had to play small as a way to stay safe, right? Mm. And also when you look a certain way, it's like you get treated like a little girl a lot, you know, which is something that I can relate to as well. And it's like you're allowed to be a quote-unquote bitch if that's what people think. But what it really is you holding your power.
Right.
And she's holding the sword. It's like the sword of truth. It's like it's okay if you're not liked by everyone as long as you like yourself. And you're just starting to come out more and more about how you're actually feeling, and you're not giving as much of a shit. You kind of said this about when you go into meetings now, and I'm sure Corinne does the same thing, where it's like, this is who we are. This is what we have to offer. If you don't like it, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't totally have to be a fuck you, but like, I don't want to water myself down. You don't want to water your vision down. So like, let's just be on our way. And I think you're really learning that that's okay. Not everyone has to like you. And ultimately, it's going to get you really in touch with the right people, romantically, career-wise, friendship-wise.
Yeah.
The more you just get real, because even in comedy, right? Sometimes you feel like you have to be nice to someone if they're a comedian too.
Yeah.
You don't never be mean.
Yeah.
But you don't have to fuck with some people.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, some people vibe more than others. And this is about you just being like true to you.
Yeah.
Be who you are.
That's very appropriate.
And obviously mermaids are real.
Yeah, they are.
Duh. Okay. Bring peace to troubled waters. Interesting. The emergence of Celtic White Tara. Oh my God, the outfit she's wearing kind of looks like a KKK outfit.
Oh yeah, that does look real. Yeah.
It's not.
Well, the top part, that the way her robe is draped is very beautiful and like Greek, but that top part didn't look like KKK hat.
Well, you know what's so funny? It's like, even the same with like the Nazi symbol. The Nazi symbol was taken from, it's a Native American symbol meaning harmony. Yeah.
No way.
So a lot of times.
Are you serious?
Yes.
What a bummer. Oh, how pissed were the Native Americans?
Of course. Well, a lot of these like hate-fueled groups take things that meant other things, and they kind of like, yeah, it sucks because
ISIS, is that, that was a goddess, but is that why they took that name?
I think it ended up being the acronym for something else.
Oh, okay.
But I also like, don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, because it's another way that we have buried the goddess.
Yeah.
Because goddess often represents the primal energies, these quote unquote darker forces.
People are very afraid of goddess like that.
there's a sexual primal thing to it. The divine masculine has a sexual thing too, but there's something about, it's almost like howling at the moon. It's that energy. And people are scared of really allowing their subconscious to come out. What am I truly attracted to? What are my real thoughts? And it's funny that we're talking about this, because bringing peace to troubled waters, it's almost like in your waters, the waters within, bring peace. Allow yourself to just be who you are. If you're feeling hateful, if you're feeling annoyed, jealous, happy when other people are sad, like whatever it is, you're just allowed to like kind of coast in the water a little bit. And it's okay to just be who we are. And also, when possible, because we, you know, when we get into dramatic situations, like we want to blame a side, also kind of taking a step back and being like, look, we're all co-creating this together. And everyone has their own perspective in this. So when you feel wronged, the other person probably feels wronged. And it's just kind of almost like taking a little bit of an impersonal stance, like flying above and being like, okay, I obviously feel this way, but this person feels their way.
And they're entitled, yeah.
And they're entitled to it. Doesn't mean you make up. It doesn't mean you don't make up. But just kind of being like, look, it doesn't have to be this big fight. We can navigate. You know, when I say we, it's like the collective. We can navigate differently. We can just be like, you know what? Do you, I'm a do me. We can either kind of, it's, we're either going to align on the path or go in different directions. It doesn't have to be this big dramatic thing. Like we all really on the deepest level want the best for each other, because we all want to thrive. Abundance is real if we just all start actually listening to our guts.
I know. And not fall into the illusion of competitiveness.
And lack.
As if there's just not enough for everybody.
Exactly.
It's so untrue.
And there's this like quote where it's like, let the dead bury the dead too. It's like, once again, karma doesn't pay you to do her work. So like, all you have to do is go within, do your work. And if someone's really still being a huge asshole or cunt, they're going to hit their walls anyway. You don't have to be the one exerting your energy to like bring justice upon them or whatever we tell ourselves. Like, just do you. It's already a lot of work to be irrevocably yourself.
So much work.
Yeah. So just like, it's like, yeah. So this is saying bring peace to troubled waters. Just be yourself and allow you to be who you truly are.
Well, I will.
Hell yes. And thank you for coming on. I mean,
thanks,
Christina,
for having me.
Took New Jersey Transit to visit me.
Yeah, I got on for free.
I'm so flat. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How'd you get on? He just didn't charge you?
Well, I have the app so I could buy it, but I forgot my password and it wouldn't let me, it kept like the app wasn't working. So I had my money out, but I was like, and he's like, oh, I'll come back to you. And then he never did. But I also have weird luck like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I get like weird stuff for free a lot, but I don't ask. I'm not like.
Good karma.
You know, those people that are like, you're going to give this to me for free. And then the person gives it to them for free. And they're like, whoa, I don't do that. I'm just like, hi. And then I, you know, I don't know.
No, I do. I believe in karma. It's like, yeah, well, it's like what you put out into the universe comes back, and you're a very good person.
Thanks. I try.
So good things come to you. And I think it's just the start. I think you have a lot more. Absolutely. You have a ton of good things coming for you. So, and where can people find you?
Oh man. Online. all my social media is Christina Hutch, but it's KRYSTYNA. And Guys We Fest, Saturday, August 18th. My
Hell
mom's
yeah.
going to be there. My dad, my brother, my mom, Kate,
Woo!
Corinne, everybody.
And also check out her and Corinne's Guys We Fucked podcast. Oh, yeah. You probably already have heard of it or
iTunes,
have listened, but
Spotify,
if not,
SoundCloud, all that shit.
Check it out. And for me, Saturday, I'll be there. And then Dragon Sorcery, the next one is the 29th. At 7 o'clock, promo dragon for $10 tickets. Check out my album 1111. Check out Labia Game if you haven't. And you can follow me at the Kate Wolf on Twitter and Instagram. Oh, and if you want a healing, email me kwolf2f27@gmail.com. Yeah. And thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you.
Bye.